Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Back pain and stiffness mean mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
On News Talk.
The three parties of government will be doing all they can to shore up the numbers ahead of the Sinn Féin motion of no confidence. That was tabled after the government lost its majority last week when Donegal TD Joe McHugh went against the contentious MICA redress scheme. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald has said politicians must stand up and be counted when the votes are in, adding that every TD has a clear choice to make. Well, for more on this, we're joined by Daniel McConnell, political editor with the Irish Examiner. Danny, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, I do find it hard to believe in this month of July, the 11th of July today, 12th of July tomorrow, holidays beginning this week, that Sinn Féin really want to bring down the government.
No, I mean, I think it's quite clear that, you know, Sinn Féin pretty much know that they won't have the numbers to succeed on this. But it is just their opportunity to, I suppose, kind of put the pressure on the government, seek to embarrass the independence that the government has been relying upon, and also see if any of them may waver. And also it puts pressure on kind of the rural and west TDs, particularly those affected by the MICA issue, to kind of stand up and be counted and defend the government's package in relation to MICA.
So the objective is not to bring the government down, but to embarrass independence.
I would have thought so. I mean, it's an element at this stage that, you know, just given the regularity with which Sinn Féin have tabled motions of confidence or no confidence in the government, I mean, this is their sixth or seventh now in the last 4 or 5 years. And, you know, I mean, ultimately, it's an element of just trying to eke and embarrass the government. Sinn Féin are riding high in the opinion polls. You know, I'm sure they would be comfortable enough in contesting a general election were one to happen now, but I'm sure they would want to wait another 2 or 3 years and allow the government to kind of become even maybe perhaps even more unpopular and solidify their position. The difficulty with this is knowing that they're not going to win means that essentially dull business gets kind of even squeezed. When you have a rush on legislation towards the end of term, it just means that, like, you know, that time to get that legislation properly dealt with gets squeezed even further. And Sinn Féin were the very party who were criticising the government for guillotining and ramming through the MICA legislation last week. So you kind of they're kind of speaking out of both sides of their mouth in relation to this one. But ultimately, you know, because it's a motion of confidence in the government as opposed to an individual minister, it allows them to kind of attack everything. Whereas what we've seen in kind of previous motions of confidence against the likes of, say, Simon Harris or Owen Murphy, you saw very direct and personalized attacks on an individual minister. And that has been somewhat kind of, you know, that has certainly kind of raised the tension, because obviously on the government side, you feel the need to come back and defend your man or woman, as the case may be. Whereas this would be much easier for a government to defend, because essentially they can defend, stand up and defend their record across the board. All I was going to say is that, like, we know that the likes of Joe McHugh and Mark McSherry, who've both essentially fallen out of their fold of their respective political parties, are going to vote with the government. So that essentially means it's 81 to the government. There's obviously, we're now looking at Nessa Harrigan and Patrick Costler, who lost the Green Party whip. There's an expectation that they will either abstain or vote with the government, further bolstering the government's kind of slim majority. And then you've got the group of, say, Noel Grealish, Michael Lowry and Peter Fitzpatrick. Peter Fitzpatrick, obviously a former Fine Gael TD. They have generally voted solidly with the government all the way through, barring kind of a couple of issues of conscience. Ultimately, they are expected either to abstain or vote with the government. Therefore, that actual very slim majority or even minority, you know, begins to start look a little bit more comfortable. And there, I think, is what are leading to government to brief across some of the papers this morning, their expectation that they will win this pretty comfortably.
Yeah. So what is the audience that Sinn Féin is aiming at? I suspect that the general public is a bit indifferent to this parliamentary, set piece.
Yeah, I suppose what they're doing and what Sinn Féin have been very successful in doing, clearly given their constant polling at above 30%, is that they're not only, I suppose, going for that working class vote, that traditional working class vote that they always relied upon. They're now looking at that more middle class aspirational vote, you know, the people who generally are working, who want to get on the property ladder, who want, to own their homes and have proper childcare services. The people who just feel very, very let down and abandoned by the government, because, you know, they probably don't qualify for any welfare benefits. And ultimately, they're the ones who end up paying for everything, even though they're either probably just above the various thresholds for benefits. And ultimately, the dream of actually owning a house is just so beyond them, because they're either caught in extortionate rents or they're not able to save the deposit that they need to buy the house when the market is as elevated as it is. So these are the people who are very disaffected, who traditionally would never have looked at Sinn Féin, but have now clearly said it's worth giving Mary Lou McDonald and her team a go. So that's who they're talking to. And Pat, it goes back to, I think, the point I made on your show last week. There's no coincidence that Sinn Féin have raised the cost of living crisis, I think, above 80% of the time since the start of the year. They're doing it for a clear political gain. They know that they can hammer this government on the cost of living crisis, even though a large part of this current inflation crisis is kind of beyond the direct control of government. But when you add that into the kind of the living or the housing crisis and then the health crisis, it just paints this picture of a government that's either unable or unwilling to change the situation for the people out there. And there seems to be a receptive audience for that at the moment.
So the government will probably win this and do it reasonably comfortably, because an abstention is a vote for the government essentially in all of this. How much time does it buy the government from a further motion of no confidence from Sinn Féin if another opportunity should arise around the budget, for instance?
Yeah, so they're precluded for another 6 months for putting a motion of confidence down. Now, that doesn't mean that the Labour Party, the Social Democrats or any of the other hard left groups are precluded from putting such a motion down. It just means that Sinn Féin are precluded from doing so. But as I said earlier, look, I mean, that they have clearly shown a pattern to table these motions as often as they can, given that they've done it so frequently in recent months and years. So I would certainly think, if not around the budget, then certainly after the budget, or even into the run into the new year, you're likely to see another motion of confidence. If the government is still there, of course, from Sinn Féin. So they will do it as often as they can. But as I said, you know, that there's nothing stopping, you know, Ivana Bacic or Roisin Shortall or Catherine Murphy deciding that, you know, now is the time to vote no confidence in the government. My only suspicion is that the smaller parties who are not enjoying this levels of support that Sinn Féin are less likely or less willing to face a general election, because they know a lot of them got elected on the back of Sinn Féin votes the last time. So they wouldn't necessarily be wanting to see the House of Cards fall down. So you have this bit of a game going on, Pat, you know, all these opposition parties rowing in behind Sinn Féin, knowing quite comfortably that they're unlikely to force a kind of a collapse of the government. So it allows them to kind of posture when really I think they're quite happy to see this government last as long as they can in order to keep their own seats.
Now, the question of Sinn Féin putting pressure on independents, and a certain number of reports suggesting that some independents object to anyone telling them how they vote, whether it's the government parties or the opposition parties, you know, they are, after all, independent. And they might be looking forward to the next election in a couple of years' time, when they might be negotiating with Sinn Féin, trying to put together a government and, you know, keeping their powder dry rather than making themselves a prisoner to Sinn Féin rhetoric.
Yeah, and I think you're seeing that in a number of the independents who would have essentially voted for government and voted for Micheál Martin to be elected in 2020, and at times voted with the government, but yet at other times have opposed the government. I'm talking about the likes of Verona Murphy and others who, you know, have basically made it clear that they're going to oppose the government now. But again, they seem to kind of do it on a case-by-case basis, and they make it very clear. Verona Murphy is one in particular who's made it very clear that she, you know, she can't be counted on, you know, ad nauseum to kind of vote along one way or the other, that she will take it as she sees it and truly kind of adhere to that kind of independent stance. Others, as I said, like Michael Larry, have always, you know, once they've gotten their deal or have their understanding with government, have always stuck very solidly with those governments. He did it with Bertie Ahern, Brian Cowan, and Enda Kenny. So, I mean, that's report is sort of seen to be nailed down. But, I mean, ultimately, independents essentially do a deal with government in order to try and advance their own sort of, you know, kind of agenda in their local constituencies. And as long as they're getting delivery on that agenda, I'm sure they're happy to stick with the government of the day. But, and ultimately, you know, suppose, I think they would say is, listen, we'll deal with this term now and this government now. If a new government is to be formed, it's at that point that any sort of new deal will be done with, and, you know, if that's Sinn Féin or whoever is in government. So, you know, that there is a degree of flexibility from an independence perspective that other kind of party TDs don't enjoy. But I would think at this stage, you know, people have said, listen, this government is increasingly unpopular. It's clearly not working out for Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar when their combined support is less than Sinn Féin's support in total. So, you know, this government really is on the defensive, and it has been reacting to the Sinn Féin kind of attacks rather than being able to set its own agenda since kind of the budget of last year. And as I said, you know, their poll ratings show that they're paying a significant cost for doing so.
Now, the question of the legislation that has to be pushed through before the recess, what is most important?
Yeah, so, like, I mean, there are a number. Obviously, the MiCA one was the big one that they wanted to kind of get over the line last week, in which they've done. There are a number of other kind of bills, significant bills, that kind of have to get through. And again, the feeling is that, you know, Micheál Martin is one who has in the past opposed any suggestion of ramming legislation through. I mean, it was one of his big plays in 2016 when he was demanding Dáil reform. That ultimately, you know, guillotining legislation and ramming legislation through is not the way to do it. Last week, he was forced to come out and defend, well, in certain circumstances, the ramming of legislation will come through. We know that there's kind of information and tracing legislation that has to get through. There's other childcare legislation that has to get through. But ultimately, I would certainly think, from a government perspective, that there's a great deal of sigh of relief that the MiCA legislation that was very contentious, that was obviously led to the departure of Joe McHugh, that's the one that they were most, I suppose, keen to kind of get over the line. But this motion of confidence now will take up a significant amount of Dáil time. So we'll know from the order of business today, or tomorrow, I should say, which will be tabled and which will not. And ultimately, it's the very strong possibility that some of the legislation that was due for this week may not get over the line before the summer.
Now, we are months away from a changing of Taoiseach. We know that Leo Varadkar will take over for the latter part of this government's term. Is that something that will be seamless, do we anticipate? Leo Varadkar is in the clear from the possibility of a charge.
It's certainly more straightforward than it was a week ago when those charges still loomed large over Leo Varadkar. As Micheál Martin had always said, he will honour the deal done in 2020, you know, where it allowed him become Taoiseach first. He and his party will honour that agreement. However, there's question marks over whether or not the Greens will honour that agreement. There is an increasing sense of nervousness because this is unprecedented. This is uncharted territory. And ultimately, as we saw, you know, Leo Varadkar didn't take easily to his reduced status as Taoiseach, him being elevated back up to becoming Taoiseach and Micheál Martin kind of stepping out of the way, does precipitate a reshuffle. It's very, very interesting to see, you know, what sort of reshuffle will happen. Will they keep it very limited, or will they be a bit more adventurous? Because obviously, that meeting of the Fianna Fáil TDs last week, you know, obviously was all about renewal and identity. They're not happy with their current ministerial lineup. They would like to see some changes. And obviously Stephen Donnelly, the health minister, is the one that most people would say is the obvious candidate for demotion in the Fianna Fáil ranks. But Micheál Martin is an incredibly cautious individual. So he generally doesn't like getting into the space of being kind of or going wider or more adventurous than he has to. The same with Leo Varadkar as well. I mean, he disappointed on a huge number of his previous cabinet and ministerial ranks when he had to demote a lot of them in 2020. There'll be a large number of them looking for preferment this time around. But his options are limited. He's only a certain number of places at the cabinet table. The big question mark, and people are asking this behind the scenes, is, given the fact that Helen McEntee is due to go out on her second maternity leave in December, does that precipitate her moving out of justice, as some people are suggesting, because the Attorney General is likely to change as well, given it'll be a Fine Gael Taoiseach and not a Fianna Fáil Taoiseach. And ultimately then there's a case of, well, all of these kind of changes then lead on to a degree of nervousness and kind of a question mark as to who's in, who's out. And then obviously these questions around Micheál Martin, whether or not he'll actually still be there or whether or not he will face a renewed heave in the autumn, remains to be seen. So there is a great degree of nervousness in the air, and things are not straightforward, even though that, as we said at the beginning, Leo Varadkar's kind of difficulties with the DPP are now over.
Daniel McConnell, political editor with the Irish Examiner. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Back pain and stiffness mean mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.